Welcome to the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and Radio Show infused with hip hop. I am Wood.
Made daily. With organic, farm to table, localized, neuralized, sterilized, available on Amazon, shipped worldwide, not available on Sundays, but now available on thebeastradio.com. Broken Pencil Logic. You stay classy, internet. I'm Suave Burgundy.
Another week, another episode, more wrestling goodness.
COVID-free wrestling goodness.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, just
with a hip-hop infused booster shot for immunity.
Because that's what we do. What's happening, man?
Man, it's a great time. What a time. Be alive. Drinking yours.
I'm drinking mine.
Woo! You know what I'm saying? Straight up. It's cool. It's really cool. It's good. We're the elderberry of pro wrestling podcast.
Yeah, indeed we are. We started this gangster-ish and
we did.
And this is the thanks we get.
Straight up. That part is that part sometimes is frustrating. This is the thanks we get for all the gangster-ish we start, but
hey,
you know.
Hey, we will not be hydroxed.
As we proceed,
do your Googles. We will not be hydroxed. Yo, we haven't really had any volatile news weeks in a while. We got I guess we're making a chicken salad out of chicken. You know what? We're also making a lemonade or a lemonade stand out of lemons. I guess you would say. Before we get started for the week, a couple orders of business. We just found out. Let me drop this music real quick. We just found out DJ Spinbad has passed away. So rest in peace, DJ Spinbad. Also, today is Thursday, November the 12th. Yev our Lord. 20 and 20.
Amen.
And yesterday in Dallas, we lost Dallas rapper Luminary Mo 3. So this show is dedicated to both of you guys. No 10 bell salute for you, but we'll definitely, you know, this show is dedicated to memories of both of you guys. So there's that.
It is a rough time in DFW. So if I have any words of wisdom to impart, if you are out of the way, please stay out of the way.
And if you are in the way, you might want to pull over.
Get out of the way as quickly as possible, because it is a different time here. The community is a little different right now. So just
the air feels weird, and it's not the weather I'm talking about.
Yeah, in the words of the Ultimate Warrior, the air reeks of combat.
Wow. Yeah, we don't need any of that. Back on business though. On the brighter side of things. On episode 90.
Yes.
You, sir.
What I do.
Made a very poignant quote where you referred to Roman Reigns as the LeBron James of professional wrestling.
These are truths. And then followed that up with a social media post on Instagram with a graphic and a video highlighting that quote, and then showcasing Roman Reigns and LeBron James next to each other and kind of listing some of the things that make this comparison a little closer than it might be at surface level.
Parallel realities and alternate universes, which is crazy. To which we summons the opinion of one Paul Heyman.
Funny how that happened. Like, of course, you know, how if you're following, give him the socials real quick.
Show at BrokenPencilBC.com is email address, BrokenPencilBC@gmail.com as well. BrokenPencilBC on all things social. That's at BrokenPencilBC on everything.
Everything. Amen. And you know, so when we're being active and doing things, we'll make a post and then share it to our IG stories. Well, when you post something to your IG stories, you can see who's viewed that particular post. So as I'm going back, going through the analytics, kind of seeing how certain things are performing, open up the tab to see who's looked at this comparison of LeBron and Roman Reigns. Guess who I find?
Who?
The man we refer to on this show in a glowing sense as the God MC.
The God MC himself.
Paul Heyman has viewed this story.
You know what that means, don't you?
At some point in the near to semi-near future, we'll probably hear Roman Reigns regarded and referred to as the LeBron James of professional wrestling.
And when that happens, that means one other thing.
Price just went up.
What does it mean?
Price just went up.
Shout out to Ron Murray,
aka
the gatekeeper of Broken Pencil Nation.
1-9. What up, Ron?
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, speaking of, price just went up. Ron is actually about to, we had some discussions, you and I did, had some discussions recently. Ron is about to be a part of something we've been talking about for months on end, and we don't want to drop the ball on this. We got to do it right. And Ron's going to be a part of something really special that we got going on for the lead up into episode 100. Because if
this is true, we've been trying to get Ron on an episode for quite some time, and we've been looking for the right place to bring in his greatness and his insight and his wisdom. So now we have found the place where we're going to give you a dose of Ron Murray and all of his greatness. So stay tuned for that. And know that, you know, we're taking care of business.
Yeah, names get dropped and people show up. This is what happens here at the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and radio show Interviews with Hip Hop. There.
Right.
As we proceed to give you what you need, yes, AEW sir. Full Gear was this past Saturday. And my goodness, have the predictions changed since you know who ain't gonna win. I had to drop that real quick. Shouts out to the Internet Champions of Wrestling group on Facebook. Shouts out to Elijah Edwards for putting together quite the contest. I will say this. The fact that he put together that contest is what made me change my opinions, and I should have stuck to my guns because let me get this ready, because it's time for me to donate to the scholarship fund. I shit the bed on that contest.
You had one job to take what we did on this show and transfer it to that contest, and you failed.
Miserably.
Why did you do this?
So the reason why I went into business for myself is because I figured you guys would have jumped in the contest too. It would have increased the odds.
We trusted you with what we did on this show, and you fumbled the bag.
My bad, bro.
No baggings and Securitas. You ruined it.
You suck. Damn.
The rubber was right there on the dresser. You fool, you.
I had the bag with no dye packs in it, and I called the cops on myself.
What was I doing?
You hydrox this whole situation.
No.
You hydrox this whole situation. WYBA.
Listen, if you ever sign an email to anybody, I don't care if you like them or if you love them, sign it with WYBA and tell them that we sent you. we'd appreciate it, even if your recipient does not.
First of all, you need to have your own explanation for what that acronym means, and then
we'll tell you
what our version means.
Well, yeah, that's that too. Yes, so
you need to be able to explain what it means, and then we'll tell you one day what it actually means.
And then you reply with also say less, and you get some with your interpretation as well.
Say less has got people in trouble. Just be careful how you use that. Sprinkle lightly.
Straight up. So back on the Full Gear, let's run through these results real quick. Serena Deeb maintains the NWA Women's Championship. Listen, so I found out how these titles are changing hands in the National Wrestling Alliance without them doing NWA Power anymore. The United Wrestling Network, UWN or something like that, we made mention about this probably around episode 85 or 86. about the NWA striking a deal to do pay-per-views weekly, like similar to that of Impact back in, or TNA back in 2002, 2003. So mm-hmm. Serena Deeb's title reign started at one of those pay-per-views, as did the reign for Question Mark and Don't Call Me Damian Sandow, Aaron Stevens. They dethroned Eli Drake and James Storm during the pay-per-view this week. So we have new NWA World Tag Team Champions and Aaron Stevens and Question Mark. Now, that being said, Serena Deeb maintains, and we can probably expect to see new homes for James Storm and Eli Drake in the very near future. Kenny Omega defeats Hangman Page in the World Title Eliminator Tournament Final. So now Kenny Omega receives an AEW World Championship match in which Kenny Omega will be taking on Jon Moxley on the December 2nd edition of AEW Dynamite.
I really thought they were going to stretch this to their January pay-per-view.
They're selling the hell out of this December 2nd show, though. I don't know why, but there's a lot of... I guess it's because it's the first show after the holiday, so it's going to be very interesting.
Maybe it's going to be their equivalent of Clash of Champions, which I would love to see something like that come back for them.
And that time of year, it's ominous that, you know, because you usually have a clash right around that time of year anyway. Then
maybe they're working on something like that.
We shall see. Then we have Orange Cassidy defeating John Silver in a singles match, which Silver looked real good, man. I don't know why Orange Cassidy gained nothing here, and John Silver just looked great.
Silver's probably going to be a breakout star for AEW. I'm out on Orange Cassidy as far as like being anything more than what he is now. Fodder. I don't see it.
Is he a comedy act at this point? Because he's wrestling like he wants to be taken seriously, but all of his antics before and after matches say otherwise.
It's going to become a fork in the road, because the stuff that made him popular, that makes him resonate with air quotes casual fans, even though we have a thing when we say about the casual fan.
Go ahead.
But fuck the casual fan. Matter of fact, we should do the hashtags while we're at this.
All right, good segue. Go ahead. Knock them out.
Broken Pencil Logic. You can't write this. Mark my words. Shit. You can't write this. And as always, fuck the casual fan. FTCF.
There you go. Couple of donations to the scholarship fund there.
And then WYBA for the insider text thread.
Going forward. No hashtag.
Going forward. But yeah, all the people that I've seen either on Facebook or in my own house who like Orange Cassidy, like him for the nonchalant comedy stuff, I don't care. So when he starts trying, I don't know if that's going to continue. And it's like, I heard someone say in their analysis, they've seen every trick that Orange Cassidy does. They've seen the sloth style. They've seen when he air quotes tries. That it's almost like in a year's time, they've exhausted all the character traits that he can put out. They've heard him talk. They've heard him be intelligent. I think the only thing you haven't seen him do is get angry and cut like a fired up promo type thing, or like start yelling and screaming. I think that's the last straw.
Yeah, without some kind of serious character shift, or at least like shift in appearance, I've never seen one person less earmarked for a title run than him.
But that's the thing. If he makes a character shift and changes the presentation too much, it loses its original value, and then all of a sudden people are going to be really uninterested.
Again, all the more reason for my statement. Now, especially with his weight class, I mean, he'll be great in like a juniors division, which AEW is yet to have.
Which brings me to that point. How long before there's a junior heavyweight situation in AEW? Because it seems like they have a lot of guys who can perform but happen to be undersized.
Well, after the mentioning of New Japan on a couple of episodes, most recently last night on AEW Dynamite by Kenny Omega, and the changing of the guard over in Japan, I don't think it's too far off that we start seeing AEW talent over in New Japan. Oh, also, very notable to mention, the opening match, Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page, had a guest announcer in Don Callis,
who did a phenomenal job.
Executive Vice President of Impact was calling a pay-per-view match in AEW alongside Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and that other piece of, yeah.
That other guy.
Yeah.
So there's two things I took from that. One, Don Callis is phenomenal on commentary and pairs really well with Jim Ross.
Which,
that is something.
Let me stop you there too. I don't know what got into his bag on Saturday, but whatever that he was trying to do with Josh Matthews at Impact wasn't working. And him and Jim Ross, and I don't know if it's Jim Ross bringing out the best in somebody, but they're gold. They're gold together.
They sound serious. Like, the presentation, that's the only thing I kind of don't like about them changing Taz into a heel manager, because Taz would have brought that realistic commentary element. Don Callis sounded fantastic with Jim Ross. Those two together, they meshed so well, which brought me to two different things. One, you should probably look into the option of bringing in Don Callis full time. I think it'll help the product overall. Or option two, with Kenny Omega doing his air quotes heel turn, going back into the cleaner, Kenny should have his own announcer for his matches only, where Don Callis would do commentary for Kenny's matches only, where Kenny says, there's only one guy who knows how to explain it, put me over the way I need to be put over. So from now on, I'm going to have my own commentator.
In fact, I would go so far as to have Justin Roberts announce on the entrance, coming to the ring from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, being accompanied by his own personal announcer, Don Callis, Kenny Omega.
I'll go a step further. Kenny should have his own ring announcer. Like, Michael Nakazawa should be his ring announcer. Like, just go full-fledged. Like, Kenny should be an arrogant sociopath. Like, he should just be a complete douchebag. And it'll really help bring this whole cleaner character full circle. He should embrace everything that he loved about Japan on American television to the point that it feels like he doesn't even like being here.
Man. Now, as we move forward throughout the pay-per-view, the next match is our first title change featuring a non-WWE signed talent.
That's crazy.
YFN Darby Allin. YFN Darby. Defeats Cody Rhodes to gain the AEW TNT Championship, the third AEW TV champion. Fourth reign, I believe. So he had Cody. Brody Lee did have it for a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, and you haven't seen Brody Lee in a couple of weeks now.
Yeah. Hikaru Shida versus Nyla Rose, and Hikaru Shida won. The crazy thing here is she won with like a knockout blow, like multiple shots to the dome, and got a three count, to which Vicky Guerrero after the match slaps the dog shit out of Nyla Rose and has her basically dragging her feet down the aisle.
I don't understand. I just don't. I do not understand why this happened the way it did. Like, what are we doing? Not one time have we exploited or highlighted what makes Nyla Rose special.
And it's like you have the fruit, right? And you peel the fruit, cut the fruit up, and set it on the plate. Nobody eats the fruit.
I mean, just,
and it's right there for the taking. No one takes the fruit.
You're in business to make money, so you're gonna take whatever you can from an individual and magnify it and exploit it, and to a certain extent prostitute it so that you can earn money and notoriety for those things.
Man,
I just I don't understand, bro.
Either figure it out and execute or leave it on the damn table. Like, don't even bring it. Matter of fact, don't even bring it out the bag. If you show it for everybody and have everybody else have their own conversations, no. Tell us what it is, or don't even bring it up the conversation.
Well, like you restore it, like you were trying to restore an old school, but you keep driving it around while, you know, the engine's not quite right and it's still got primer on it.
Yeah, and it holes in the floor and everything. You know it's rusted.
Because you want to show people what you're working on. Like, nah, fam, bring it out the house when it's ready.
Have you no shame? I do.
Such is life.
AEW Tag Team Championship. Young Bucks versus your champions, FTR. And the stipulation here is if the Young Bucks lost, they will never challenge for the AEW Tag Team titles ever again. Young Four Bucks win with Matt Jackson having aggravated this ankle injury even more so. This was a cartoony start to the match, as you had Lakers and with the Young Bucks versus the Celtics and FTR in terms of colors of their wrestling attire. Tully Blanchard barred from ringside, and Dax Harwood caught a nasty injury to the hand. His hand was lacerated and swollen in the first 10 minutes of the match. And it was that the hand was a story for him. The ankle was a story for Matt Jackson. In the end, no flips, just fists. Cash Wheeler missed a 450 splash. That's the first time we've ever seen them flip. And that thing looked phenomenal. It was almost reminiscent of Kurt Angle always missing moonsaults.
Right.
But great story told here. And this rivalry would definitely be back, hopefully at the top of the year in full bloom. Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in an Elite Deletion match. They played the hits here.
If you like Ultimate Deletion matches or you're into the broken Matt Hardy character, you got everything that you like. You got the references to Inside Talking Shop on the inside. Shout out to the Good Brothers.
Yeah.
You get the references. You get the cameo appearances from wrestlers from years past. I wasn't aware Shane Helms was not working at WWE anymore.
Yeah,
he was part of the COVID layoffs.
Yeah, yep, he was part of those April. Let's go the COVID layoffs. Yep.
So that was a cool little surprise. There's a lot of talking inside baseball during that whole match. Some things were quirky, but they're supposed to be because of that.
We didn't get to see the Hardy kids, but we did see Rebby, and we did see Senior Benjamin, and also Vanguard's always going to be there. There's always going to be a Vanguard there.
That part. And then Private Party was involved. Proud and Powerful were involved. If you like this sort of thing, I think it delivered. If you don't, then there's that.
Yeah, don't just tune out. I thought it was very well. It was on par with the rest of them that we've seen. The only difference was this time around there was no Jeff.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
Cool with it. I just if you're gonna have Matt Hardy doing this, I think the rest of the show needs to be a lot more serious so that this can stand on its own. But you have a lot of goofy, corny other stuff going on in other places, and it takes away from the presentation of something like this.
I actually like the position of this match too on the card. It was with including the buy-in, there was 9 matches on the card. This was match number 7. So I think the position was great considering the Young Bucks and FTR put on like a 30-minute classic. MJF versus Chris Jericho. If MJF wins, he's part of the Inner Circle. They actually put on a really good match. The extra stipulation was just added for the storyline for TV for the weekly programming. But the bigger story here with MJF is his detesting of Sammy Guevara, who's probably going to end up being ousted from the Inner Circle here very soon.
Kind of, sort of. So is this going to be the beginning of a breakout singles push for Sammy Guevara, or is this just going to be the eventual destruction of the Inner Circle? It's a lot of different roads you can take with this. And one thing I might want to see at some point is Vicky Guerrero managing Sammy Guevara or mentoring Sammy Guevara.
Well, so they've got Vicky's daughter. Is she ring announcing, or is she actually about to be wrestling in AEW? I know she's ring announcing, but it's okay. So it'll be interesting to see where her role actually finalizes as, you know, as months get, you know, get grow longer here. And Vicky having a stable, it's we're not too far off from that, especially with her and Sammy being from Texas. It'll be hard to not see a stable forming with, you know, people from the southern part of the states, especially with Latino descent. We'll see as that moves forward. But yeah, I don't like Sammy in this role because Sammy's been losing nothing. Like he obviously in the inner circle, he's the weakest link in terms of record. And he's now being looked at to be a redheaded stepchild of the inner circle while everybody else is making it seem like everything is fine. But MJF knows and Sammy knows, and that's where the feud lies. Here's the other issue I have with Sammy. If you kick him out of the inner circle and you prepare for a singles push, he's also earmarked to not win a championship. He's more so along the lines of someone that could always challenge but will never get it. He seems to be better benefiting having the ability to work for a lower weight class championship.
Yeah, it sums it up. It brings it back to my original point of like, okay, I know you may start a relationship with New Japan, but you employ a lot of undersized talent and undersized talent that can perform if you put them together in a situation where basically you're recreating WCW's cruiserweight division. Like a junior heavyweight title makes all the sense in the world without having to have, you know, the New Japan junior heavyweight champion come in and defend, because you're not going to necessarily cry. You need something for your weekly television. You can have a relationship where you bring people in from New Japan and all across the world to come challenge or to just feature them on a program. And that'll be more of an option once the pandemic subsides. But you need something for your weekly television now.
What I would like to see if they do walk this dog a little bit longer is if they let all of the competitors who are eligible go to the Best of Super Juniors tournament to expand the pool over New Japan. One of the winners comes from stateside and shows up on AEW television, or if they even are from ROH, that person floats between ROH to AEW to New Japan to help increase the visibility of that particular division. So you do that, then you bring, you know, a bigger shine to all of these, and the only people that are left out that really matter are going to be MLW. NXT doesn't even count because they don't want to hop in that anyway. They'd rather pull talent versus send talent.
I'm going to be honest, just tournament wrestling is probably the one untapped source that AEW can really use to, one, build stars, two, make sure there's always content going on, and three, just be different from everybody else that's on television.
I think these working agreements are probably going to be the truth teller here for the future of the lower weight class guys in AEW, to be honest with you. I really think that shared talent agreements, especially after seeing Don Callis, I really think we're going to start seeing shared talent between AEW and Impact. And I wouldn't be mad at it either.
I mean, they got to unite. They got to figure this stuff out, bro. Like, you're going to have to unite if you're planning on even surviving against the machine.
Tony Khan's lack of GAF is going to be the differentiator between the WWE way of doing things and AEW as a actual company, not an independent doing things the independent way while still having money to fund the machine.
Gift and curse.
Yeah, man. And then the championship match for the night, John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston in the I Quit match. This is everything you would expect to see from John Moxley. And oh my God, if we did not see a wrestling first. Thumbtacks to the back and treatment with 70% isopropyl alcohol directly on the wounds.
Fam. Fam. Like, how many death matches are we going to see in this title reign?
How many things?
Or how many have we seen during this title reign?
How many things can go wrong with alcohol in a wrestling ring during a match?
My eyes, bro. My eyes.
Permanently my eyes. Like,
I mean, those two guys, they have to trust each other. They have to have some type of friendship or relationship, and they have to trust each other to do stuff that ridiculous. It's just, it's two different trains of thought. One, because I'd like to be able to think that I can see where things are going. He's wrestled all these death matches so that when the eventual regular rules match comes up with Kenny. He ends up getting air quotes outclassed, and then that's his out. But the other train of thought is this, if you're just looking at it as a paying consumer. Every title defense of Jon Moxley's reign, well, not every, let's say 90% of the title defenses have had some sort of a stipulation or some sort of deathmatch infusion.
Well, Chris Jericho is the prime example. That match with Chris Jericho was supposed to be a straight up match. There had deathmatch infusions in that.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like 95% of all of his matches have some deathmatch element. 90% of the title defenses. So I get where the storytelling might be going, or then again, I might be giving people too much credit, but Kenny Omega made mention to the fact there's no record of me ever losing to you, kind of tongue in cheek, like, oh, that's the whole, this was an unsanctioned match type situation. So, I mean, I don't know. I know what I could create out of all of that. Don't know if anybody's actually going to go in that direction, but you can kind of see the writing on the wall that we might be at a point where we're about to see the end of Moxley's title reign.
Which, I mean, we've only seen two AEW champions, Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley.
Right.
Kenny coming in, I mean, you want to put him at the top, especially if you're trying to turn him heel. The easiest path to recognizing someone as a heel is resentment. And the entire wrestling fan base, by and large, will resent Kenny Omega for winning this championship from Jon Moxley on a TV program versus a pay-per-view more than any other way.
Will they resent him?
People want to see the cleaner. I don't care so much. Like right now, like having the retro 80s dancers with the broom.
The one part that's like, this is cheesy. Like, could get rid of this. Like, at least, you know, paint the brooms black.
Like, if you're going to do that, you might as well bring Consuelo out there from Family Guy to be his second.
I mean, because you got like Home Depot brooms with like just straight off the shelf. Like, at least customize them to where then you could turn around and sell them.
And then you got top shelf Nitro girls dancing for you. Like, come on, man.
There are parts of it I like, parts of it I don't like. Some of it's cheesy, some of it's not.
But if you're gonna be the cleaner, like, don't be the janitorial services cleaner.
Don't do it halfway.
Yeah, go all in or just leave that shit in Japan.
But then again, it might be one of those things where like it's a slow build. And by the time he actually, you know, becomes champion, it will morph and, you know, evolve into something bigger than what it is now. So I'll wait to see how it plays out. Just there are different things that can be done once this comes to fruition. I just don't know if everybody's examining all the real possibilities.
Yeah. And then last night we had a decent head up episode of Dynamite versus NXT. And
am I the only one that just watches AEW first by default?
No, I've been on that since AEW started in October of 2019.
This is true. WWE had burnt up all the equity they had, and NXT was the saving grace. But I was so burnt up with WWE programming, I was like, I'm going to give AEW first watch priority. And it's been that way ever since. And now NXT is in a state of flux.
And what's crazy is the very first segment of NXT last night, which I watched all of Dynamite and then went into watching NXT immediately afterwards. And
that part, that's how I do it.
The very first segment for NXT was Johnny Gargano having to spin the wheel for his opponent. And handwritten on the wheel was Leon Ruff. Everybody else had printed tags. Leon Ruff was handwritten. And you couldn't see this coming a mile away. But after about a quick 5 minutes, your winner and new NXT North American champion, Leon Ruff.
Nice touch.
And the caveat here is like, and you know what? I'll almost be willing to bet money. The agent for this is the Norman Smiley. This is some Norman Smiley stuff if there ever was any. Punishment Martinez, aka Damian Priest, and he was, I'm telling you, like, this, he's gold. I hate the fact that this storyline between him and Gargano is solidifying him as a face. He could do the exact same thing and still have the people hate him, and I would appreciate it a lot more than people cheering for him for being smarky.
I mean, in an attempt to get Johnny Gargano over as a heel, it's one of those things. He morphs into a face by default, but I think that's something. He lives a cool lifestyle. Like, his whole gimmick is cool once you start peeling the layers back, because at first it looked like Damian Priest was just on some, you know, cult-ish, you know, what's the gothic emo type stuff.
Yeah.
Come to find out, this dude is an experienced grappler striker, and then once it's over, I'm trying to get in the hot tub with the chicks. What's not to like about that? Like, what part of that would make me boo him?
And he's athletic as hell. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not just a ground to pound guy, but if you need to get some luchador action out of him, you got him. He's 6'6".
He's an above average physical specimen, and then he parties with girls with champagne in hot tubs. Like, he's the gothic Ric Flair, if we're going to look at it like that. Woo! So, I mean, like, what is there not to like? So that feels like, okay, he can just kind of float in between. He can always do the same thing all the time and be heel or face, because, I mean, it is what it is. But you got to paint him in a different light to make Gargano look different.
On the flip side, we go back channel flipping again, taking it back to the 90s. Let me hit pause on this music real quick. Let me see if I can find a nice little clip from AEW.
Who the hell told you tonight was open mic night, bitch?
I'm going to start that over here in a second. Let me give the background story here. Let me get the background story. Cody Rhodes comes out to talk about what's next for him. And out of
Cody
nowhere,
Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, Cody Rhodes.
A very, very athletically just chiseled out of granite woman walks out and starts giving Cody some very poignant words, even so much so as starts talking about his member in terms of size or lack thereof.
That's inappropriate.
I'm thinking this is going way too long for someone who's married and his wife works for the company as an EVP and is not walking out to say something about it. Here comes Brandi Rhodes in full East Side of Detroit fashion.
East Side?
Let's go to the tape. and this may be the return of the Samoa Joe body bag award right here.
It's the return of Forever How.
So Jay Cargill is the lady's name. She's come out representing Shaq. And after she says what she has to say to Cody, this is Brandi Rhodes walking out.
You up in my house, smacking your gums at my man, and now you my problem. I'ma make this real easy for you. Don't you ever, ever talk to him like that again. Don't you even look at him. And you know what else you can do? You can take your ratchet, trifling ass right up off my stage and do not come back unless I send for you. Do you understand me, Heffa? Good, great, cool. Bitch, get your ass out of here.
We are smoking. My God.
And Brandi flips her hair. Jay taps her on the ass.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We
need to.
Now, Jerry Lynn's there now.
Yeah. Wrestling back, B.
I mean, it's the best performance I've seen from Brandi Rhodes on AEW television. So let's hit the applause for that one.
Oh,
time.
My God. Yes, indeed. Hold on. There we go.
I mean, it's a whole lot of stuff that happened in that clip that can only happen when there are two women involved. There's absolutely no way that a male and female counterpart could execute that segment.
It's I really hope that they had no prior interaction to before this, because it makes it even more realistic if that's the truth. Man,
if Cody had tapped, if Cody had slapped Jade on the ass after rebutting to her comments, he'd have been canceled.
Well, he would have been canceled for a number of things that he could have been that he could have done during that segment, but he didn't do it. He took the high roads, if you will.
I see what you did there.
You like that?
Hit the bell for yourself one time. Yeah. Treat yourself. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, Jade Cargill's mic work is greener than the Broken Pencil logo. Greener than uncut grass in the cow pasture in the middle of September.
Bruh, let us not be so hasty to label this woman's mic work as green. Give her more than one opportunity.
Well, I will. I will definitely do that.
Well, look, I gave Sonny Kiss more than one opportunity before I labeled him as greener than California weed. But
is it me, or is it because of his like repetition that it seems like Sonny Kiss, that it seemed like that his in-ring works got progressively worse in our eyes?
All of the above. It was like, you gave it enough opportunities. You saw all the air quote signature spots. You saw Sonny work a full match. You saw Sonny work a high profile full match against a much more experienced opponent. So you've seen all the different variables that could give you a idea whether or not this person has either a great deal of potential or a great deal of aptitude.
Well, so here's another example. Chuck and Trent kissing the clouds, you know, getting close to the tag team tournament or tag team titles, only to be struck by lightning as soon as they smell rain.
I'm more of a fan of Trent Beretta than Chuck Taylor, but I'm not really high on the best friends as at all.
I agree. I can agree with you more. At the same token, though, that doesn't mean that what happened to them wasn't piss poor.
My better example of like seeing someone in all these different scenarios and realizing, okay, this person is probably going to be a star at some point, Jungle Boy.
I mean, that Jim Ross calling him Jungle Boy Jack Perry is actually infectious, because I've had myself call him that numerous times prior to Jim Ross doing it on the weekly basis.
Or as we call him at the Broken Pencil Booking Company, Jungle Buck Back Perry, Jack Perry.
Jungle Buck Jack Perry.
You know what I'm saying? Jungle. Look, I like the idea of Jungle Buck Jack Perry. Like, just go ahead and absorb him into the Young Bucks, bring him into the Elite, and let's get rid of this whole Jurassic Express thing.
We will file the Young Bucks winning this title with Matt's ankle in the condition that it is, as a missed opportunity for Jungle Buck Jack Perry to thwart all causes for this clause of the contract that they have for this title match.
Just start the process on YouTube, bring him into the Elite. Cause look, Jungle Boy is destined for greatness. Luchasaurus, I believe, can swim on his own. I don't need to see Marco Stunt ever. I never need to see Marco Stunt ever again. Like, I don't need it. He provides no value to me personally. Doesn't mean he doesn't have value as a person or as a talent. It's just, to me, I can continue to live my life without him in close proximity.
So who do we take to task for this? Because there has to be consequences for your bad work. And I'm not talking about bad work as far as in-ring work, but somebody's responsible for putting people in these positions to where they look bad.
There should, like as we discussed on episode 91, there should be consequences for bad booking decisions.
Good segue, sir.
Look, somebody's got to be held responsible. If we as individuals in society do wrong, there are consequences and repercussions. It seems as though the further you move up in society into the corporate realm, all of a sudden, those consequences and repercussions are far less apt to be executed and enforced.
So we'll say this angle with Shaq goes completely south. The top of the food chain is heavily involved here. And by top of the food chain, I mean the closest you can get to Tony Khan without being named Tony or Khan is involved in this.
Right.
What are the consequences for bringing the biggest, larger than life non-wrestler into wrestling while being close to 50 for his first in-ring battle?
You just have to hope Shaq has done the work ahead of time. Because it was different when you were going to do it in WWE when you had someone equally as big. You didn't necessarily expect the match to be anything special. The buildup was what was going to be special. And the fact that you were able to put it on the stage of WrestleMania. This, more than likely, is going to happen on an episode of Dynamite on TNT.
And sadly, the only reason why this is going to debut on TNT, if it does indeed debut on TNT, is because Shaq is an employee of Time Warner or Warner Media Group, i.e. the NBA on TNT.
Inside the NBA.
Inside the NBA, NBA network, or NBA TV, like all these things.
NBA, no young boy.
All these things are direct derivatives of being, you know, employed under the same umbrella as the TNT network and AEW.
And Shaq is no longer a young boy either.
At all. So I'm sure, especially being a giant anyway, one slam to the back is going to be enough to make him be like,
you know, Cody's not body slamming him at all. You can hang, that up.
Oh, speaking of body slam, go back. Who was that body slammed Andre the Giant in Japan that the footage just came out recently?
I have to see it because I hadn't seen the footage.
Yeah, it was his footage floating around before Hogan slammed Andre. There was saying there was something that said that Andre got slammed in Japan, and no one, everybody was saying that it didn't happen, and there's footage of it prior to that.
Here's the thing: you're not body slamming Andre the Giant unless he wants you to. Period.
That part.
Yeah, so I mean, he cooperated, but what I'm saying is it's not going to happen. Now, here's what is going to be sort of weird. Having Shaq try to work a match with Cody, because here's the thing. There's such a size discrepancy. How do you work that match? Is Shaq going to be the heel and Shaq's going to, you know, be on the offense for a lot? Or is it going to be an issue where they're just running from each other until something else happens? Or is it going to be where Cody is on the offensive and Shaq is just kind of selling? Which I don't know how you pull that off and make it even remotely entertaining.
And then a 40 plus year old man is stepping to wrestling for the first time. Do you really give him a W?
It's Shaq. I mean, Cody would be gracious enough to give the W. That goes without question. Because at the end of the day, this is about business and this is about exploitation. This is the exploitation that you should be trying to infuse into Nyla Rose because of all the things that make her special. With Cody and Shaq, it's obvious this is about TNT. This is about pushing the agenda of the show. This is trying to get outside eyes onto watching the product. So I wouldn't be surprised if Shaq versus Cody takes place on December 2nd, if this is supposed to be some sort of mega show.
That fast, you think?
I mean, what else are you going to do?
Wow.
If they don't have the match on December 2nd, they will have some sort of interaction where Shaq is on TV. Because the only other place that makes sense is their January pay-per-view. If you're going to push it off and try to score a hot $50 off somebody.
So
that's the other thing. It's a fundraiser.
So here is a complete hypothetical scenario. I mean, complete hypothetical scenario.
Shoot.
We thought that Shaq coming to AEW was a missed opportunity for a past booking transgression that or a contract dispute, whatever the case may be with WWE. Because the only plausible feud for him at a WrestleMania match, in our opinion, would have been him versus Big Show.
Right.
Big Show, his show just got canceled with Netflix, unfortunately.
Trash.
And it's not like he's doing anything in the E right now.
Ambassador status.
Complete hypothetical. They let him do a couple of shots over at AEW.
Not going to happen.
Well, we know this. Again, complete hypothetical.
Continue.
But you and I were talking earlier about, and that, well, I was saying earlier, I mean before we started recording, about the possibilities of Triple H taking the helm and then cross-contaminating talent, because there's been, you know, we... Internet, by and large, is comparing, like, with the Samoan Dynasty situation popping off. If we were to get, say, Shaq to go against Big Show in AEW, or Shaq to go to the E, now that there's a tie-in with AEW, how do we get other talent from other places to show up on other TV and increase the value of both products? And one thing I was suggesting would be, like, for instance, the size and the physical appearance of Jade Cargill mirrors that of Bianca Belair. Now, if Jade were to go to go from AEW to SmackDown, SmackDown doesn't benefit from having Jade Cargill on there, on their programming, more so than it benefits AEW. However, you can't send Bianca Belair over to AEW and have SmackDown benefit either, because SmackDown is already SmackDown. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're on SmackDown, you're already established. On the flip side, if you were to send, you know, Shaq back and forth with or show to AEW for a hot second, and you were to send Jade to SmackDown for a hot second, who could you send over to AEW to pop a rating for AEW?
And such is the question. And such, that's kind of what makes it difficult. So you've seen, we've heard about different instances where WWE has done sort of a backdoor talent trade on with Impact, like TNA back in at some point. Like the most notable thing that they've done to that
was when they had Ric Flair, who was signed to Impact, go to be inducted back into the Hall of Fame for the second time with the Horsemen. And in exchange, they sent Christian, who was back signed with WWE, back to Impact to induct, I believe it was Sting.
And that's exactly the scenario I was looking at. So it's not beyond the realm of comprehension. It's just, it's a lot. Like, For the super fans and for us that are, like, you know, booking stuff, fantasy booking and all that kind of stuff, like, yeah, you would like to see it. Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, that would be beneficial for the fans. But when you look at these situations of talent trading, there has to be a clear-cut benefit for both parties. And usually with the bigger entity, the benefit has to be monumental. They have to really be able to pull something. So it would have to be, they're not just going to send one of their top talents to AEW television for nothing. It's going to, cause that's too, it's too much of a, it's charity. It's charity work for them. Basically, there's no get back for that. It's going to pop a number for AEW. It's not going to really do a whole lot for WWE's bottom line.
You would literally have to take John Moxley back to the E as John Moxley to confront Roman Reigns with the AEW title belt.
See, you have to do entirely too much. And then at that point, you're taking AEW's most protected, most marketed star and feeding him to Roman Reigns, because you know Roman ain't gonna lose. So, or you're gonna have to find like a schmoz finish where it's like a DQ.
Going to be a DQ with some interference from someone who has absolutely no stake in either one of them.
That part is going to be, it'll take you back to like the Super Clash days. Like, it'll be something, but nobody's getting pinned.
Well, just remember what happened, why Super Clash didn't work. No one can come to an agreement on finishes. Jerry Lawler won the AWA World Heavyweight title from, who was it, Kurt Hennig? Because of blood?
No, it's Kerry Von Erich.
No, Kerry Von Erich. Kerry was the USWA title, right? Was it USWA? Either way, it was versus Kerry Von Erich, and there was blood involved. I don't remember if it was the USWA title or the AWA title, but Jerry Lawler beat Kerry Von Erich without a finish. It was called because of blood. And that's how he ended up getting that belt and shutting down whatever organization that the belt that
carried. I want to say it was like champion versus champion in a unification match, but I had to go back and I don't want to be out here dead wrong. I got to go back and look that up because it's not as much in my wheelhouse, but I'm semi-knowledgeable.
Yeah, so Super Clash 3 is what we're talking about. Jerry Lawler versus Kerry Von. Okay, so Jerry Lawler was the AWA champion. Kerry Von Erich was the World Clash champion. And so that became the unification bout. So if you followed Memphis Wrestling, the unified world heavyweight title was the AWA and World Clash belts that were combined.
Memphis 10.
And that's actually on the WWE Network.
See, yeah, that's where I saw it.
Yeah, so
I knew it was available on the network.
Yeah, so this was when USWA was formed out of the World Clash belt being unified with the AWA belt. So there you go.
Righteous.
Yeah. Anyway, a little history lesson here at the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling podcast and radio show infused with hip hop. There you go.
We do what we can.
A couple other tidbits. Leo Rush has been tagged as, and he actually put it out there as being tapped for a Power Rangers affiliated movie in a prominent role. Didn't exact say what that role was because he doesn't know for sure, but he knows that he's going to be in the movie. And it's possible that he could be a Power Ranger. I think he's a great fit. He's athletic enough. He has the size. He has the look. And of course, you put him under a costume. I mean, it translates well.
Absolutely.
And he's quick enough to where he can pull off those, you know, those judo kung fu moves or whatever you want to, martial arts moves, as you want to call them. And lastly,
I see what you did there.
Nice.
Ha, 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 ha.
Last but not least, at AEW Full Gear, Big Swole decided to bring her husband to work. Decided to take a picture of her husband at her job.
Yep.
If you've been listening to the Broken Pencil Booking Company Pro Wrestling Podcast and radio show infused with hip hop, you would know who her husband is. But for the sake of conversation and this bit right now, we're going to tell you that Big Swole's husband is none other than Raw superstar and member of the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander.
True. Factual.
What in the bloody hell is she trying to do?
I mean,
Is that self-sabotaging or am I overthinking this here?
You're not really overthinking it. It's possible. It's absolutely possible that it's self-sabotaging. I feel like if this situation had materialized 6 months ago, it'd be a cleverly laid ploy to get out of a deal. To migrate to another company. Because 6 months ago, Cedric Alexander was in catering. He wasn't being used properly at all. Now, in the midst of the biggest push he's ever had on WWE television, you have to be careful because the people in charge do not necessarily operate with a consistency when it comes to disciplinary action.
Man.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, so, everybody is not created equal in that situation. So hopefully it's just a situation where you say, look, he wasn't on camera. He just happened to get a picture taken of him at the event by his wife that happened to, you know, hit the internet and go viral. It's not something he can control. The only way he would have been able to control that is just not be there, which means not supporting his wife. So to me, it's not even an offense, but if you look at it as an offense, it's totally excusable.
So do you, I mean, so is it something to where the powers that be at the E are going to force Cedric to eat a shit sandwich, or is this just like, hey, watch your step and you might want to check your wife next time? Or do you say anything at all?
The latter. Yeah. I don't think it's a situation where, Cedric's gonna find himself in any trouble or hot water. The situation with the Hurt Business is performing too well on television for there to be really strict and stiff consequences. However,
And at the end of the day, MVP legitimately is a businessman.
You know what I'm saying? So
no really pun intended. Like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? I really do feel like it's going to be one of those things that, that nothing comes from it. But we have seen where in other circumstances with less prominently used talent, it could be a problem. And I'm like, hey, because that's happened before, I would love for, you know, everybody involved to be a little more cognizant of the consequences if things go wrong.
Yeah.
And like if y'all are going to take a selfie together, cool. Y'all are husband and wife. Nobody should be able to argue that. But taking a picture of him with another, with an AEW talent backstage, what does that do?
No pun intended. I don't know what picture you're trying to paint, but that ain't the one you want to see at all.
You know what I'm saying? other than putting him in a compromised situation where something can or may go wrong.
Yeah. And there's that. Follow us on all social media at Broken Pistol BC on all things social. That's Broken Pistol BC on what?
Everything.
And yeah, I guess that'll do us till next week. And Suave, do me a favor.
Yo.
How does this go? Yeah, take it to the house.
Pencil pushers, heads up, pencils down.
The Broken Pencil Booking Company, a pro wrestling podcast infused with hip-hop. Available on all streaming platforms, including TheBeastRadio.com.